The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Seth Joyner. Seth is at workout. So Seth Joyner, Cardinals working out. We like this. We'll have Michael Fabiano, fantasy football, with Fabs. Kenyon Drake is out for a few weeks, which means Chase Edmonds is going to be the guy. We'll get into that. Sandy Charles with Michael Fabiano, the fantasy football segment. That comes up in a few minutes. Our opening comments brought to you by the good people at Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of business. Desert Financial Credit Union, we appreciate their support. Eric Sorensen is with us now. Yesterday, you were like a party pooper, a wet rag on baseball. Come on now, you're going to watch tonight some, aren't you? I am beyond fascinated tonight, because if Dave Roberts, look, you didn't watch the other night, but this fingernail is the distance between where the Rays would be up 3-2 versus the Dodgers up 3-2. By this much, just this much.
I'm going to steal Brad Sessmatt line. I have no dog in the fight. Okay. Therefore, interest is waning.
Come on.
Will it be on? I mean, I'm going to try to get some sort of workout in this evening. Today is going to be spent working on a special project that I shot a couple weeks ago. That
is it going to be any good?
That needs some special attention.
It's one of those. What Eric is saying is he made all this time, took all this time, all this attention, and now he looks at it and says,
"Meh." I mean, I don't know. I shouldn't say that.
It happens.
I don't know.
It happens.
Rome wasn't built in a day.
Oh, it happens. You're making chicken salad out of chicken bleep. It's fine.
So tonight, if I'm out and about doing God knows what and the game is on, it'll probably catch my attention. But we all know how this movie's going to end. I mean, let's be honest.
No, we don't. The Dodgers have not won since 1988.
Oh, we know.
If they lose tonight and they lose tomorrow night, Dave Roberts is fired. And the city of L.A. will lose their minds, because if LeBron wins a title and the Dodgers don't, it's just not happening. It's not happening.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
No, I am right on this one. But like, they don't care about the Rams.
But I think they are going to win tonight, so I don't think there's going to be a lot of drama. So,
I think that the Rays, to me, this is their 19th game in the postseason. That's a lot. They've hit 33 home runs. That's a lot. It's never happened, these numbers that they're putting up. There's a guy named Tony Gosselin who's pitching tonight for the Dodgers. It's not Clayton Kershaw or Walker Buehler.
Right.
So I'm just kind of like, okay, is this a two-inning deal with him? And then they're going to go to all their other guys? And I know the ratings, when people say, oh, the ratings are terrible, I wish I could get 9 million people to watch something. So don't give me the ratings are terrible. 9 million is 9 million. That's a lot of eyeballs. So it's not the NFL. I get it, but it doesn't mean that it's not important.
So I have something cool. I have something cool to tell you. So as you know, I have friends that live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and one of my college buddies went to the NLCS for his birthday for $40.
Yeah.
And he tried to get one of the World Series tickets. He was not able to obtain one. You could go to the World Series this year for $75.
I like that story.
Pretty cool.
I have two people that are at the World Series. One is somebody who is best friends with Dave Roberts, who's my fantasy football partner for 33 years. The other is one of our partners from the past who's there. Over at Sagicor. He's down there.
Nice.
So they're having fun. My cool story is I just finished a Zoom with Jake Plummer. Anytime you can talk with Jake Plummer, you just never know where he's going to go. And we didn't talk football for, other than ReadyList, the company that he has, we did not talk football for 1 second. We talked about former players living and not living. And what he's doing, he's got a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 4-year-old, and they're up there shut down in Colorado. So I did get some news this morning, though. There's a chance that I am not going to get credentialed for the ASU-USC game. I guess they're limiting, like severely, severely, severely limiting. And I look at it and say, well, there's 100,000 seats in the stadium.
Right.
So I could be the guy underneath the scoreboard if you want me to be. In fact, I'd rather be the guy. I don't need to be sitting in a hermetically sealed space. I don't need that. I just need to be there. I am planning on being there, but I got this note that said, well, you know, we're not really going to have much media there. 50-yard line all the way at the top stadium, last row, I'll walk.
That's all you need. Good. You just need some Wi-Fi. Maybe you don't even need Wi-Fi.
No, I don't need Wi-Fi. I could write from LAX. I don't care.
You could social distance just fine.
I am not one of these. Yeah, I'm not one of these people that needs a. I don't need a seat with a plaque and a meal. I don't need any of that nonsense.
If I were you, I'd try to sit by the torch because that'd be kind of cool.
That'd be kind of fun.
By the Olympic torch.
The sports stuff. To me, I tried to watch the Bears-Rams game last night, and maybe I was just footballed out because it didn't come close to the interest and excitement that the Cardinal game had. The Cardinals losing Kenyon Drake, so it's going to be a few weeks. The trade deadline is this Thursday. Me being me, I feel like Steve Keim is going to go do something. I just feel like, because every year, he likes making trades.
Yep.
Right? He got Marcus Golden last week.
Great trade.
Yeah.
Considering they gave up a sixth-round pick, that's an absolute steal. So,
no, but if you are in the fight and they are in the fight, and now you have a running back who's nicked up, and Chase Edmonds isn't the biggest dude in the world, and they use Chase Edmonds and Christian Kirk on kick returns and teams.
Right.
So now do you not use Chase Edmonds in that role because you can't afford to have him nicked up? It just feels to me like this is a Steve Keim week where the general manager of the team should do something this week.
If there's players available, and this is the time of year where the good teams are good and the bad teams are bad, and the good teams are looking to get better and the bad teams are looking towards 2021. So it wouldn't surprise me if they make a move.
Now, I'm hopeful that they do. I want to talk to you. I got my first Heisman, what do you think, note. And we'll do that after Seth.
Should be an easy one.
Well, it's not all Trevor Lawrence, though. It isn't all Trevor Lawrence. It's not all Trevor Lawrence. We'll explain that. Seth Joyner is next. Stay with us. All right, time to go deeper on the Cardinals and what happened on Sunday night and to look ahead at them. We have found the original NFL Network analyst Seth Joyner via Zoom. He's in the midst of a workout. You're dripping sweat everywhere. I love this. Are you planning a comeback, Seth?
No, man. I got to stay in shape so I can keep playing golf, man. You know, got to keep my core strong, keep stretched out, you know, keep flexible and all that kind of stuff, man. Or else I can't play the game I love.
There you go. All right. So Cardinals on Sunday night. What do you make out of – well, let's just get to that game first. What did you make out of Sunday night Cardinals in Seattle?
I thought it was really impressive for the Arizona Cardinals because I thought that the Seattle Seahawks were going to be their litmus test, so to speak. You know, it everything looked good. You know, they had an off game here or there, you know, the two games that they lost. But they looked good across the board offensively and defensively, and I thought that Seattle was going to be – their major test, and my goodness, you know, Russell Wilson is the guy that comes back against everyone. He's the guy that's positive. He's the guy that finds a way when there seems to be no way, but the Arizona Cardinals found a way when there seemed to be no way. When every single opportunity for them to lay down and quit and call it a day, they just kept fighting until they got the victory.
You've been a part of great teams. When you see the Cardinals, a win like that on a national stage, I don't think they're a great team yet, but they're on their way, aren't they, Seth? Or are they a great team now, from your view?
Well, I think they're on their way. I think, you know, great teams are defined by longevity and, you know, your ability to do it consistently week after week. I think you've got a young quarterback, you know, who's starting to realize how great he can truly be. And once he realizes what he can do and what he can't do and what he should and what he shouldn't do in certain situations, he's going to be unstoppable. And they've got plenty of weapons around him. You know, love the running back situation. You know, I told you in previous shows, I think Chase Edmonds is the guy. You know, even though, you know, you you needed a guy last year, and you went in and you brought in, what's the running back, 41?
Kenyon Drake.
You bring in Kenyon Drake, you know, and he may be a bruiser back, but I think that Chase Edmonds is the guy that can give you everything in all facets of the game. He's a good runner. He's a good blocker. He's a good pass catcher. He's very elusive. Even though he's on the small side, but you know, when you look at all the pieces that they have, they're only going to get better as time goes on. And the thing that shocks me the most is the defense. How much the defense has improved. I mean, they were god awful last year, and it's hard to believe that they could make such a turnaround in such a short period of time, especially with no OTAs and, you know, no training camp.
Seth Joyner, the original NFL Network analyst, with us for a few minutes, taking time from his workout. He's got an ab blaster that he's got to get to, so I won't keep you too long because I've seen you in your golf shirt and the abs are blasted. The play that everyone is talking about, so an interception by Buda Baker and DK Metcalf tracks him down. As you're watching that play unfold, are you like all of us saying, oh my goodness, or worse than?
Well, I was shocked. But then when I looked and saw who it was, I wasn't shocked. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's about 6'3", 6'4", 224 pounds, you know, with a 40-plus inch vertical leap, you know, went to the combine and just showed completely out, ran a 4.3 40 for a guy his size, that's unheard of. And if you give him 90 yards to track down just about anybody, he's going to go get him. So I was shocked when I saw it. But then when I realized who it was, I was like, you know, it doesn't surprise me one iota. And all the teams that passed on this guy coming out of the draft believing, you know, the gurus, you know, that say, oh, he's a linear runner. You know, he can't change direction. He can't move laterally. You know, it just blows my mind. When I think about the teams that passed up on this guy that could have had him that are now kicking themselves.
Seth, the way the season is unfolding, the Cardinals are now on a bye week and they're in a good position having now won a game within the division against the Seahawks. They have Miami after the bye, Buffalo, and then at Seattle again. With the NFC East, and you do a lot around the Eagles, it's one of your teams along with the Cardinals. Can the whole NFC West make the postseason this year with the expanded playoffs? I think initially that sounded ridiculous, but with as bad as the NFC East is looking and the strength within the West, what do you make out of that? Could that happen?
Well, there is a possibility, although I think the Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to have something to say about, you know, possibly two coming out of there. There's only one coming out of the East.
Who is that team in the East, by the way?
I think, you know, Dallas will always find a way to self-implode, whether it's a coaching staff that's not operating, you know, the way that they should be operating, whether it's, you know, players, you know, getting caught up in situations, or whether it's Jerry himself saying the wrong thing at the wrong time, putting undue pressure on his coaching staff and his players. They will find a way to falter and fall apart. Now, you know, they're enduring the injury bug, you know, specifically at the most important position, quarterback, just like everyone else. But I thought going into the season that the division would come down to the Eagles and the Cowboys. I don't think that the Washington football team or the New York Giants are really in a position to really compete for the division. And after what I saw yesterday, you know, with Washington, you know, just beating up on the Dallas Cowboys, you know, the Eagles, believe it or not, at 2-4-1, they're in the driver's seat, as crazy as it sounds. I think that, you know, 7, possibly 8 wins would probably win the division, and that's pretty darn sad. But, you know, I think that they'll probably be the team to come out of the East. I think, you know, in the South, you're going to have Tampa Bay and New Orleans come out. And so, I mean, if they've expanded, what'd they expand? One or two teams?
One more.
So you got the Eagles out the East. You got the Bucks and the Saints out of the South. You're probably going to have, you know, Chicago. there's potentially Chicago and Green Bay coming out of coming out of the north. So basically you've got what, two more spots left. So
three more.
So conceivably three teams could come out of that division.
Before I get you out of here, when you look at Arizona, and now that you've had a chance to go through 7 weeks of what's been just an oddball year, what do you like most about this team? What concerns you most about this team?
What I like most about the team is their explosive potential on the offensive side of the ball. Kyler Murray is a human highlight film. Then they turn around and add DeAndre Hopkins. When he's healthy, he's darn near unguardable. They haven't even utilized Larry Fitzgerald in the way that, you know, they probably should as of yet. It seems like, you know, when they need a play, they go to him and he always produces for him. They got to figure out a way to get, in my opinion, to get him more involved in the game plan. They've got a good running game. And, you know, even where they lack efficiency on the offensive line, and they run the ball well, but even when they lack inefficiency on the offensive line in the passing game, Kyler Murray can make up for it, you know, with his legs, and he's just dangerous that way. So they are highly explosive on the offensive side of the ball. The question is, can they show up week in and week out and play the type of defense they played last night? You know, now I think they're ranked like second or third in the NFL in points given up, you know, thus far. They gave up quite a bit of points last night. You know, that's going to happen just as long as offensively you can match it. But the question is going to be, can they continuously play at the level defensively that they played at last night? You know, and they really didn't look good early, but man, did they find their footing, you know, towards the end of the game. When they made the adjustment to put Patrick Peterson over
Not DK on the other side.
DK. No. Yeah, they put him on DK. They put him on DK in the second half, and you didn't really hear much from DK in the second half. But when they made that adjustment in the second half, that kind of flipped things for him. You know, now, in my opinion, they should have allocated more resources to being able to, you know, stop the little guy, number 16.
Lock it.
Be able to stop him. Because he absolutely had a field day. But at the end of the day, in my opinion, that's what it's going to come down to. You know, trying to generate a consistent pass rush, you know, after losing Chandler, you know, that's a grave issue for them. But if they can figure that out, they're going to be a tough out for anybody.
Before I get you out of here, how's your podcast going? You went into this foray this year. I see you on social media with names all over the place. You're getting big name guests. I see it's taking traction. You have the passionate Eagle fans. Tell people about your podcast and how it's going.
Well, the podcast is doing phenomenal, honestly. We started off doing, you know, just a straight audio podcast. And then, you know, with the Zoom explosion, I told my guys, we absolutely have to do video.
Yep.
So we do it through StreamYard. It's an hour every Tuesday night, 4:30 Arizona time, 7:30 East Coast time. And, you know, we primarily talk about, you know, Eagle stuff. I think in the future, I've got to expand it. I got to expand it to more NFL, you know, to make it really grow the way that I want it to grow. But I'm happy with it. I'm excited about it, you know, because it's mine. I get to go on, you know, similar to your show, you get to go on and talk about whatever you want to talk about.
That's it.
You know, when you work for someone else, or you know, like I do the pre and post game, you know, for the Eagles, for NBC Sports Philly, you know, you're pretty much, you know, told what to talk about and what not to talk about. Well, it's my show. I can talk about what I want to talk about. I can say what I want to say. I don't have to bite my tongue. I don't have to be politically correct. So, you know me, I love just being that way, you know.
Well, I get the whole thing about being in control, because if I want Seth Joyner while he's doing ab blasters, while he's getting his body stretched out, I'll put Seth Joyner on the show because it's my show. So I'm right there with
you. Well, see, there you go. A lot of people would not have been good with this look. Me laying on the ground, stretching, sweating in the gym with background noise. So you're right. You know, when you control what's yours, then you can make it look and feel any way you want to make it look and feel. And that's a great thing.
Good seeing you. Stay well. Thanks.
Will do, my friend. Take care.
There's Seth Joyner with us. We'll let him get back to his workout, and we're back with more after this timeout. All right, so the Pac-12 does not start until a week from this Saturday. Actually, Friday. A week from this Saturday is ASU. They will be playing against USC. The Heisman Trophy stuff is already starting to get kicked around. I'm a voter. I talk about it every year ad nauseum because I think it's pretty cool. And it also leads into the debate stuff. The easy answer this year is Trevor Lawrence and that there's nobody else that's even playing a game. That is the easy answer. But have you seen Zach Wilson at BYU? Have you seen Justin Fields enough? Yes, they're good players. Is it just a hype machine with Trevor Lawrence and Clemson? And nobody in the Pac-12 has a shot because they haven't played a game yet. So it doesn't have to be a quarterback, you know?
Yes, it has to be a quarterback.
Why?
The best quarterback plays at Clemson, and he doesn't play against UTSA and Navy and
Texas State
and whoever else BYU is playing these days. Like, it's cute that ESPN really wants to try to shove one of these group of six teams down our throat. And I just, you know, you can make fun of the Big 12 all you want, and that's fine. That's fine to do because the league is down. But come on, BYU plays all their games at home. They all start at like 9:30 at night, Utah time.
BYU after dark.
They're playing like the bottom feeders of the group of, you know, of the group of six teams. Like, no, it's not. No, he does not deserve it. No. Yes, he's a good quarterback. Yes, he's been at BYU since like 1981 and he's a junior. But Trevor Lawrence is the best player in the country.
Well, so ETN's a really good running back, right? And Najee Harris is a really good running back at Alabama, right?
He is. No doubt.
So why do you have to say it has to be the quarterback when has Clemson had a game yet that you look at and say, wow, they're going to get tested this week. This is going to be really hard.
Yes, but they weren't tested. I thought Miami would moderately push them.
All they did was push the door open.
Syracuse pushed them in some ways more than Miami did.
I guess when Trevor Lawrence in the Miami game, he got hit late and he got up and he got pissed. He started yelling at a guy and it was the first time I'd seen any emotion out of him. And I'm not one of those guys, we have to see emotion, all that stuff. But there are times where you'd like to see a little bit of, like when Peyton Manning would get mad, they'd show him up close, or Tom Brady gets mad. Okay, greatness gets mad. Every now and then greatness gets mad. So I saw some of that out of Trevor Lawrence. Does that mean he's the Heisman Trophy winner? Is it fair that no Pac-12 player can even get on the field? And should that be held over their head? Like, let's just say that Jaden Daniels goes out and runs the table. Is that possible? Yeah, sure it is. Let's say Jaden Daniels goes out and has a quarterback rating of a very good number, equal to or better than. He has no shot because he's in the Pac-12. Just pure media bias. The guy in South Carolina is not going to vote for a guy in Tempe, Arizona. That's why Najee Harris has a shot, I think, or Mac Jones has a shot because they play for Alabama. And there's going to be that group of voters down there that doesn't see any part of the country other than their guy.
You know, your argument dates back to 1996 when a kid named Jake Plummer had an unbelievable season at ASU, yet somehow Danny Werfel won the Heisman Trophy. Why is that? Because Danny Werfel played at Florida and Jake Plummer played at ASU and they played those games in the middle of the night. But if you put those two resumes together, if you put Jake Plummer on the field and Danny Werfel on the field, I guarantee you Jake Plummer was a better quarterback then. But yeah, it just goes to your point that it's an East Coast thing. The Heisman is based in the East Coast, and that's just the way it is. So
1992, I saw a kid up close and personal named Marshall Faulk.
He turned out all right.
And Gino Toretta won. How does this happen?
Yeah, I don't know. But the great thing, Brad, is if Trevor Lawrence somehow doesn't win this year, when the Jets get the number one pick and he decides he wants to come back to Clemson, no. You can just vote for him next year. So
it says no. Yeah, I mean, like the Jets on the Trevor Lawrence thing, that has picked up momentum where he, do you really want to go to New York? Do you really want to play for the Jets?
No.
And it's New York City and big spotlight and so on and so forth. And it's just, no, nah, I think I'm too well to attend. I don't. And then what are his other options? You know, if the Atlanta Falcons continue to stink and find ways to lose games in the final moments, is going to Atlanta in any better situation? Because he's going to get paid no matter what.
Right.
But the Heisman Trophy side of it, it just feels like you can go turn in your ballot now because there's been such a marketing job done on him from the networks because they have nobody else to attract eyeballs. So they're going to sit there and pump Trevor Lawrence all day long. And he's great. I'd take him on my team. But I think
you're going to see that now with Justin Fields because the Big Ten is back. Justin Fields is the face of that conference. He's easily the best quarterback in that conference, one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And maybe if Ohio State keeps winning, which I expect them to, maybe it will come down to, is it Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence? I mean, Travis Etienne, great running back. Bad news is, plays on the same team as Trevor Lawrence.
It's Trevor Lawrence.
So.
Right. All right, Sandy Charles is next with Michael Fabiano. Stay with us.
Welcome on in. I'm Sandy Charles, and I'm joined by Sports Illustrated's senior fantasy analyst, Michael Fabiano. Michael, Cardinals are on a bye, but what is the true value of Cardinals running back Chase Edmonds with Kenyon Drake out now?
Could be pretty good. He's been the better running back all season long, and now that Drake is out, Edmonds will be the top add, even though the Cardinals aren't playing this week. I feel like that tells you all you need to know. He's got a tremendous opportunity maybe to take this job for the rest of the season. So Edmonds, if he's not owned in your league, should be very shortly after waivers runs this week. This guy has proven that he can be a very big time fantasy asset.
That was going to be a follow-up question. Do you think Drake will have his job back when he comes back?
I wouldn't be surprised if not. If he does get it back, I would also consider that the snaps and touches, that gap between the two might shrink. But Edmonds has to go out there and prove that he can be the number one guy. And he's going to have that opportunity now.
Awesome. Now, Browns wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. is out with a torn ACL. So who's going to get OBJ's targets in Cleveland now?
So you would think Jarvis Landry will see a little bit of an uptick in targets, although OBJ wasn't getting targeted a ton in that offense. So keep that in mind. So, you know, four or five, whatever it is. Landry, Rashad Higgins is also going to be an add this week off the waiver wire. Not as popular as Chase Edmonds, but he will be added. He had six targets, 100 yards, 17 points last week, and they've got the Raiders coming up in week 8. So Higgins will also see a little bit of an uptick in targets as well. I mean, you could also talk about the tight ends too, but both David Njoku and Harrison Bryant were both very good last week against Cincinnati. So if I had to pick up one of the two this week, assuming Austin Hooper does not play, it would be the rookie. He's very good.
More injuries to 49ers. They've been plagued by injuries. But what's the play with San Francisco now that their running back, Jeff Wilson Jr., is out?
I have no idea. I got to be honest with you because we know Wilson's not going to play. We know that Raheem Mostert is on injured reserve. So it's going to be probably one or two of three backs. You would think Jerick McKinnon would be the lead back. But we thought that last week, and then Kyle Shanahan came out and said, well, we're going to rest him. Hey, Kyle, can you maybe give us that information like before the game? That would be great, man. Fantasy owners would absolutely love that. So then you're looking at Jamichael Hasty, who is also in the mix, but Tevin Coleman might come back from IR this week. I'm not sure, but there's been reports that that could happen. So say Coleman doesn't come back. Then it's McKinnon and Hasty, and you can kind of choose between the two against Seattle. Should be a high-scoring game. But if Coleman does come back, well, then you've got a three-headed monster that could be a little bit confusing. So as great as the Niners running backs can be, and we've seen it in the past, with the injuries, there's no guarantee. So right now I go McKinnon, but I'm not 100% sure at this point.
Yeah, the 49ers, kind of a mess all around due to injury. As always, I'm joined by Sports Illustrated senior fantasy analyst Michael Fabiano. Michael, is Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert too hot to not play moving forward?
He's been so good. Holy cow. And I'll tell you, I didn't love him coming out of college either. I really didn't. I mean, I've even talked to folks who are in the scouting business and former head coaches in the NFL and in college. And they were like, there's something missing. Yeah. Guess what? Whatever the hell was missing is there now, because he's been unreal. He led the Chargers in rushing too last week. Right. And that matchup was pretty good against Jacksonville. So like, I'm not starting him over Mahomes. I'm not starting him over Lamar Jackson. I'm not starting him over Kyler. I'm not starting him over Russell. But I got to tell you, folks, right now, this guy is going to be hard to bench the way he's playing. And he's giving you a little something with his legs, too. That is extremely valuable in fantasy. So I haven't done my rankings for the week just yet. Sandy, he's a guarantee to be in the top eight, though.
So then let's talk another quarterback that may or may not be hot. And you just said you don't know, you haven't done your rankings yet, but Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow, where do you think you would rank him? How hot is he? How high are you on him?
I would guess he'll be top 12 this week, probably maybe 11 or 12. You know, the matchup's good. And the Titans didn't give up much to Big Ben last week, but he had three turnovers. So I feel like this defense can be had, and we've seen some quarterbacks put up some pretty good numbers against Tennessee. So Burrow will be like a back end QB1, but his schedule down the stretch, when we start talking about the fantasy postseasons, get the up. It is so good. So if he's out there, go get him without question. And if you need a quarterback this week, you can start him depending on your alternatives.
Now, who are some busts? Who are some players that fantasy owners just need to walk away from?
How about the entire New England Patriots offense? What the hell happened to Cam Newton? I mean, like, he was awesome coming into the season. Everyone was just singing the praises of the Patriots and how they made another great Patriot move and how Cam Newton was out there. Nobody signed on the Patriot. And what the – I mean, now it looks like he's having shoulder issues again. Yeah. He's not running with the football. That offense is a nightmare. Julian Edelman is a nightmare. He could be dropped in leagues right now. You could drop almost every Patriots running back. Maybe you want to hang on to Damian Harris, I guess, or James White, but there's nothing there. I feel bad for Edelman. You think Edelman sits back and watches Brady throwing all these touchdown passes to all these Buccaneers wide receivers and tears up because that's his guy, and now he's stuck with Cam, who can't throw the football, or Jared Stidham. I feel bad for Julian Edelman. So a lot of the Patriots at this point are quite droppable from a fantasy football perspective. Can't believe I'm saying that. Haven't said that in, hell, 20 years. I mean, it's been a long time. The Patriots are a fantasy wasteland right now. It's a very strange situation going on there. Anyway, I mean, even their defense. Mm-hmm. Defense was not good last week, right? Yeah. From a fantasy standpoint, not good at all. So it's just tricky at this point with that team. So some of those Patriots, even the high-level guys, don't need to be rostered if you can find a hot player off the waiver wire to pick up.
Yeah, they have a lot to figure out. Well, let's move to waiver wire. Let's start with quarterback. Waiver wire needs quarterback. Who are they?
So we talked about Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield had five touchdowns. How does Baker Mayfield have five touchdowns with no OBJ, but he stinks with him? I don't get it, but whatever. It is what it is. He's worth adding. He's got the Raiders this week, okay? I still don't trust Baker because they're going to run the ball a lot in Cleveland. But as a QB2, okay. Tua Tagovailoa. Wouldn't play him this week against the Rams, but I'd pick him up. Kirk Cousins has got the Packers and the Lions the next couple of weeks. Bye weeks are tough, so he can be added. And then Phillip Rivers had a really good game before the bye, and now he's got the Lions. I don't particularly love Rivers because the Colts run the ball so much. But again, QB2, if you need a quarterback this week, or maybe you're looking just for a backup quarterback with the bye weeks here.
Wide receiver waiver wire needs.
There's a lot of these guys. So I guess buckle up. Sterling Shepard came back and had a very good game against he's got the Bucs this week, so they're probably not going to play him. Cole Beasley, you want to talk about Rodney Dangerfield's of wide receivers, 12 targets, 11 catches, 112 yards, over 22 fantasy points. He scored at least 12 fantasy points in five of his last six games. He's had nearly 40 combined fantasy points in his last two games. He's got the Patriots this week. Sandy, you know who Rodney Dangerfield is, right?
Yes, that's why I laughed, yep.
Because sometimes I say Rodney Dangerfield and people are like, who the hell is that? Like, one of the greatest comedians ever. Anyways, yes. Go on YouTube and check him out. So, Nelson Aguilar has a touchdown in three straight games for the Raiders. Brandon Ayuk with Debo Samuel out is a great pickup and play this week against Seattle. They're giving up 60 fantasy points per game, the wide receivers. Chris Godwin is hurt again. He's not going to play this week. Scotty Miller had a nice game last week with over 22 fantasy points, and he's got a good matchup against the Giants. Randall Cobb is on a bye. You can still pick him up if you need him. We talked about Rashad Higgins. And then Marcus Johnson for the Indianapolis Colts. They're coming off a bye, playing against Detroit. He was very good in the week prior to Indianapolis's bye.
Now, running back, how deep is it? I know last week it got a little bit better. What are the waiver wire needs?
There's a lot. So Edmonds is number one, yeah, regardless of position. Seattle, you have to watch out for, okay? Initially, it was going to be Carlos Hyde. But suddenly, Carlos Hyde has hamstring tightness. Well, then it's Travis Homer. Travis Homer has a knee bruise. So we know Chris Carson's not going to go. It might be DJ Dallas. Like, honestly, I'm not even sure. You got to keep tabs. But that Seahawks backfield right now has got a lot of question marks. We talked about the Niners already. Devonta Freeman looks like he's going to be able to go this week if he can't Wayne Gallman. But again, matchup is bad. Mark Ingram looks like he's going to go this week. But J.K. Dobbins needs to be owned across the board as a second half, maybe stash and cash kind of player. Same with Gus Edwards. Then LaMichael Perine for the Jets. Maybe the passing of the torch is happening between Perine and Gore. Perine had 13.5 points this past week. These three backs, if they're not owned in your leagues, well, find new leagues because they're not competitive enough. But Jamal Williams, Giovanni Bernard, and especially Boston Scott need to be owned across the board. Scott's playing the Cowboys this week. You guys can check out Start Him and Sit Him. That'll be up on SI.com tomorrow. If you, and I'm a Cowboy, I'm wearing a Cowboys set. I've got Cowboys jerseys behind me. I got a Cowboys helmet over here. I love the Cowboys. They stink. All right. You're playing all your Eagles this week. Everybody, even the damn kicker. That's how bad it's gotten, Sandy, for the Cowboys. So make sure that Boston Scott is not available in your league.
Speaking of kickers, are there any, I know you like to cover everyone. Who else? Are there any other waiver wire needs that the fantasy owners need to know about?
Well, before we get into kickers, let's not forget about the tight ends. Richard Rodgers is a very good play against the Cowboys, by the way. Harrison Bryant for the Browns is also worth adding. Trey Burton coming off a bye. Irv Smith Jr., I don't like the matchup this week, but he's also been someone that you can play at the kicker position. Let's see. Mason Crosby's a good play this week. Jake Elliott, guess who he's playing this week, Sandy?
Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys? He's playing the Cowboys, right? So Jake Elliott also is going to be worth a look off the waiver wire. If someone dropped, because a lot of people don't like to hold two kickers, if somebody dropped Rodrigo Blankenship, the guy's been one of the top kickers in the league, go out and get him. Steven Gostkowski's probably owned, but he's got a good matchup. Michael Badgley's got a good matchup this week against the Broncos. I liked him last week. And then Tyler Bass had a huge game for the Bills and for fantasy owners last week, and he's got the Patriots coming up. So those are a few kickers to talk about because kickers are people too.
They are, and they can get you points, too.
Hey, points are points.
Exactly.
I don't care where they're coming from. I need those points.
That's what it's all about. Before we go, last advice, last thoughts for fantasy owners.
Well, number one, I would make sure that I remember that big names don't always equate to big points. And so, like, it may seem weird to drop Julian Edelman, but he hasn't done anything. It might seem weird to drop Cam Newton, but he hasn't done anything. So try and forget about the names or lack thereof and base your decisions off of production, right? Like Cole Beasley, he's not the biggest name, right?
Right.
He's been very good. He's had a great floor and nobody's playing him. I mean, he was available in far more than 50% of leagues on ESPN. Just because the name, Nelson Aguilar has had the touchdown in three straight games, just because he's not a big name, doesn't mean you can't play him, right? So I think people need to keep that in mind. And one other thing, too. Any Cowboys that you can trade right now and get something for, you may want to think about doing that. And I'm piling on the Cowboys. Zeke is in trouble. If Ben DiNucci is starting, the Cowboys are in big trouble. Even with Dalton, they're going to stack the line of scrimmage, and the line of scrimmage is banged up right now. Amari Cooper's got Darius Slay. If I have depth at wide receiver, I'm not playing Amari Cooper this week. You probably can't trade Michael Gallup because you'll get nothing for him. CeeDee Lamb, I think he'll still have some value, but I would be looking to maybe ship off my Cowboys, and that includes Zeke Elliott. Maybe you trade him now while the getting's still good and he still has some name value, because it's not looking good for Big D right now.
It's not pretty. Well, thank you. As always, Michael Fabiano, I'm Sandy Charles. We'll see you next week, same time.